Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Samach Aleph. And we're holding on the bottom of Samach Omid Beis. We left off two lines from the bottom, Omar Rava, but Rava is responding to a comment made to Rav by Rav Idi. So let's just review that again, so we get back into the sugya. Let's go back eight lines from the bottom of the Omud, where the Gemara brings the Omar Rav Idi, Omar Bishu ben Levi. Hoyemoided uba the kolza midase bechatzi ha'ir ein loy ela chatzi ha'ir. A person got stranded outside his city on Erev Shabbos. It's now Bein Hashmoshes time. He's not going to get home in time for Shabbos. Instead, what does he do? He would certainly like to get home after Bein Hashmoshes. So the question, of course, is how far away is he from his home? You're always allowed to walk 2,000 amos from wherever you are staying at the time of Bein Hashmoshes. So he doesn't even have with him any type of measuring stick or rod, not that he'd be able to carry it anyway on Shabbos. So what is he supposed to do? What he's supposed to do is, we had in the Gemara back on Daf Mem Hei, that a person should take psiois beinoinios, average normal steps, because the average individual's foot is approximately a half an amma. His gait is approximately a half an amma. If you take altogether 2,000 such psiois beinoinios, such regular ordinary steps, that will be approximately 2,000 amos, and that's what the person should do. And that's what the person did. Hayamoideluba, from where he was on Erev Shabbos, in other words, Bein Hashmoshes time, he starts measuring not in the form with a measuring rope or stick, but he starts walking. And the Kolza Midosa, his 2,000 average steps, ended B'chatzi Ya'ir, in the middle of a city. Could be his city or anybody else's city. Ein lo yel chatzi Ya'ir, he is stuck wherever he landed up. So if he lands up on 100th Street, he's on 100th Street. He cannot go down to 99 or 98 because his 2,000 amos ended b'chatzi Ya'ir. However, kolza midosa b'soifa Ya'ir, if good news, if he was able to go the entire city, meaning that the city that he was going to was a relatively small city, and so therefore that entire city, bakol mikol kol, was less than the 2,000 amas. In other words, where he started off from, he started walking 50 amas, 100 amas, and good news, he hits a city. He continues walking through the entire city, which is really not a big city, it was really a small town, and the entire town was all of 1,500 amas. So he's still within his 2,000 amma range, because he was able to get through the entire town, the entire city, kolza midosa b'soifa Ya'ir, after the year is finished, he gets the benefit of nasis lo Ya'ir kula kedalat amas. The entire city is now like 4 amas, umashlimin lo yasashar. So, once again, if he walked l'moshel 100 amas, he got to the city, and the city was 1,000 amos, and now he passed through the whole thing, and now he's beyond the city limits. It's not that he has walked 1,100 amos of his 2,000 amos, but rather he's walked 100 plus 4 amos, 104, because the entire city is considered to be like 4 amos. And therefore he has now remaining 1,896, because 1896 together with 104 gets you to 2,000. Is it 1896? 1996. No, 1896, we walked 100. Yeah, 1896 plus 104, 2,000. So now, this sounds beautiful, but Omer of Idi, Rav Idi was kind of scratching his head, and he said, Ein elu ela divrei nevius. He says, this that I am quoting, that I just quoted from Bishua ben Levi, it sounds like a Novi came down from Shemayim to say that. Meaning that I and you couldn't say that on our own because I don't see any logic in it. It must be that these are Divrei Mesoira, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi must have heard this from his Rebbe and his Rebbe from his Rebbe. And so therefore, I cannot question it, because if it's Mesoyrif, that's their tradition, so is. However, logically, I don't really understand Mali Kolze Bechatzia Ir, Mali Kolze Besoyfa Ir. If the person has entered into the city, why don't we say he gets the entire length and breadth of the city? Just like you said that if he goes through the city, and the whole city was within his 2,000, then it's considered to be Dalet Amos. Why don't we say the same thing if he gets stuck in the middle of the city? That was Rav Idi's point. From the Lashon HaGemara, it sounds like that there's a little bit, if you will, a little bit of negativity attached to Rav Idi's comment. He was saying as if, you know, this is just impossible to understand. It must be that a Novi came down and told this to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because I can't give any explanation for it. However, Tosis down below gives a much nicer read on it, if you will, a much more positive read, and he was trying to extol that the virtues of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that Rabbi Shua ben Levi must be a total genius, that he was able to go and repeat such words, and the only person that would be zocha to go and say something like that would be a Navi, someone who's really, really great. So Tosis interprets these words in a much more, just like we have by Noach, yesh torshin l'shvach, yesh torshin l'gnai. So if you look at the very beginning of the Tosis, on the bottom, ein elel dibri nevias, ein merida b'chol mokim sh'oimer, ein elel dibri nevias, have l'shvach, kloyme ein chochma kizu sh'meivin l'chalik kol kach svorim mu'etes u'bruch ha'koydish omar. Rabbi Shua ben Levi must have been a real goyin, a real tzaddik, to be able to come up with svarim mu'etis, in other words, Talmudic hair-splitting to the nth degree, that he was able to come up with such a beautiful dvar Torah. It must have been Baruch HaKodesh. A regular individual could never say anything close to what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. So that's what Rabbi Idi is saying. So Omer Rava, two lines from the bottom, Rava says, Rabbi Idi, I don't know why you are so amazed and why you are scratching your head and saying this is Divrei Nevi'ahs. Trevayu Tanani, both halachas that we have just learned, B'shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, what means both halachas? Both, number one, if a person, his 2,000 amis ends in the middle of the city, he's stuck in the middle of the city, as well as if Kol Tzemidosei B'soifo'ir, he gets the benefit of the entire city of 4 amis within his 2,000 amis. Both of them are a B'feirush Mishnah. And in fact, this Mishnah we're going to learn in Yetz Hashem today, because it's on the bottom of Samach Aleph Omer Aleph, all the way on the bottom, as we'll see shortly. So what does it say in the Mishnah? Anshi ir gdoila mahalchen es kol ir ktan. We have two adjoining cities. Not mamish adjoining, but they're very close to one another, almost like twin cities. One is a very large city, and one is a small city. So it says in the Mishnah, Anshi Igdoila, the people who live in the big city, and they are walking on Shabbos to the Irktana, to the small city, in other words, to the small town. Mahalchin is called Irktana, they can walk through the entire town and beyond, and that small town will have the din of Dalid Amois, just like Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. And so therefore, if from the Irktana to the Irktana, it took 100 Amis, now we go through the whole Irktana, which was 1,000 Amis, it only counts for 4 Amis, and we can continue walking another 1,896 Amis after that Irktana, because I only walked 104. However, the Ein Anshe Irktana Mahalchis called Irgdoila. If the people from the Irktana walk now to the Irgdoila, since it's such a large city, they're only going to get stuck with their 2,000 Amis somewhere in the middle. In other words, they walked the Mashal the same 100 Amis from the Irktana to the Irgdoila. They get into the Irgdoila. The Irgdoila, unfortunately, is 3,000 Amis long. So they get stuck in the middle of the Ir Gedoyla after 1,900 Amis, and wherever they land up, they land up. If they land up on 100th Street, they're 100th Street. And if they land up on 80th Street, they're on 80th Street. But you can't go more than that. Ein Anshi Ir Ktana Mahalchen is called Ir Gedoyla. So Freit Imor, my time, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? Very obvious. La Mishum Dehani Kodzim Midosim Bechatziho Ir. In the second case, the people that were walking on Shabbos got stuck in the middle of the city, and therefore they're not able to walk the entire Ir Gedoyla. Bahani, but the first case, Kodzim Midosim Besoifa Ir. They were able to go and walk the entire length and breadth of the smaller city because it was within the 2,000 Amos. And if that's the case, Reb Idi, you're saying to Reb Shub ben Levi, wow, amazing, I can't believe it, it's so hard to understand. It's a Mefarish Mishnah, it's a Mishnah here on the bottom of our Amid. If you look towards the bottom, you see it's our Mishnah. So what was Reb Idi so amazed and so excited about? Everything more because of Reb Idi, Anshi Tani. Reb Idi, when he learned that Mishnah, he learned it with a major different girsa. What was the major different girsa? He started off the same way that we have on the bottom of the Amud Beis. How do we have on the bottom of the Amud Beis? Anshi ir gedoyla mahalchin es kol ir ktana. Here on the top line, instead of saying the ein anshi ir ktana, he had the girsa v'anshe irktana. And in fact, if you look down below in the Mishnah, you'll see that that is the girsa in our Mishnah. You see the first line down below, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah says, anshe ir gedoyla mahalchin es kol irktana. V'anshe irktana mahalchin es kol irgdoyla. So therefore, in fact, this distinction that the Gemara made at the top of the Amud, here is called some midasim bechatzia ir, and here is called some midasim besayfa ir. There is no such discrepancy that you can attach, or such description you can attach to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah doesn't distinguish between the ir gedoyla people and the ir katana people. Now the question is, why? What's taka the pshat? Because of idi moikim lo benoisin, he says our Mishnah is talking about a case of noisin eruvoi and not a case of moided. What means noisin eruvai? Until now we were speaking about a person who got stranded on Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmosh's time. And therefore he started walking his 2,000 Amis somewhat blindly, trying to walk 2,000 Pesiois Bein Noinois, and then hoping that he would get somewhere close to civilization. And if he was lucky, he was able to get through the entire small town and get home. And if he was not lucky, he was stuck in some big city somewhere looking for refuge or looking for someone to help him out. However, Reb Idi doesn't learn pshat like that. And in fact, if we learn the Mishnah together, we'll see that the Mishnah is not talking about a modeid person. It's talking about a person who went and put his Erev down. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. Mishnah on the bottom. Anshi ir gedoyla mahalchin es kol ir ktana. The people from the big city, they can walk through the entire small city. V'anshi ir ketana mahalchin es kol ir gedoyla. And the people from the small city can walk through an entire big city. When, keitzad, mishahoya bi'ir gedoyla v'nasan eseiruva bi'ir ketana. A person who was staying or living in the ir gedoyla, and he wants to walk not only beyond the ir gedoyla, but he wants to go beyond the bounds of the ir ketana. The ir ketana, fortunately, was within 2,000 amis of his ir gedoyla. So he went and put an eruv down somewhere in the middle of that ir ketana. In the front and the back, the northern side of the city, the southern side of the city, the eastern, the western, somewhere in the ir ketana he put his eruv. Or fakert, a person who was living and staying bi'ir ketana, v'nosan esiruv bi'ir gedoyla. And he took his eruv and he put it somewhere in the ir gedoyla. What's the halacha? Mahalach es kula v'chutzla alpayim ama. He's automatically kona that entire city and can continue on 2,000 amas. What the Mishnah means to say is that when you plant your Erev somewhere, if you just plant it somewhere in the middle of a forest, then your Erev starts from the forest, from wherever you placed it. But if you placed the Erev inside the middle of a city, then the entire city is like Dalet Amos, and you can walk the length and the breadth of the city even before you start measuring your 2,000 amas. But that's only because you're a noisin law. you placed the Erev somewhere in the city. So it's as if the whole city is like one house, one enclosure, and wherever you put that, wherever city you put that Erev in, you can go and walk the length and the breadth of the city, even before continuing on your 2,000 amos that you are afforded by your Erev. Okay, so that is very logical, that makes a lot of sense, but it has nothing to do with our Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because Rabbi Shua ben Levi is talking about a modate situation, a person who is walking and depends on how large the ear is in between. Zokti Yomara, Nachamul, Rabbi Idi says back to Rava, don't bring me a Rai from the Mishnah to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because I am not goyris the way we were goyris until now. Anche, the ain anche, but I'm goyris anche, the anche, and umoikin la benoisin, we're not talking about a person who's moided a ruvai by walking 2,000 psiois, ketanois, or benoinois, but I'm talking about a case of benoisin a ruvai, which in fact that's what the Mishnah is talking about, beferish. Ava moided loitanan, but the case of Medida that Rabbi Shua ben Levi is talking about doesn't even appear in the Mishnah. Freitimor of a loy, Rabbi Idi, are you right? Vatanan, let's look down at the same Mishnah once again. Look at the final line on our Amud Aleph, all the way in the bottom, the last line. It says, Ulamoide Chamru, Noisnan Alpayim Amma, Shafilu Saif Midase, Kolabama Ara. Oh, the Mishnah does address Moidate. And what does the Mishnah say about Moidate? That a Moidit gets 2,000 Amas, even if the Seifa Midah Kolabama Ara in the middle of a cave. What does that mean? I went and put down my Erev somewhere, or I didn't have an Erev and I just walked somewhere, and my walking brought me exactly to 2,000 Amis, and the 2,000 Amis brought me in the middle of a cave. Guess what? I cannot even go to the end of the cave. Wherever I get stopped in the middle of the cave, that's where my 2,000 Amis end. I cannot go beyond that. Oh, so you see, Rabbi Shua ben Levi's halacha does appear in the Mishnah that if you're being moided, you're walking 2,000 amis wherever you get stopped, because your 2,000 amis end, that's where you stop. You can't go even one inch beyond that. Even say midos kol ba'ma'ara, you cannot go the entire length and breadth of the ma'ara. You're stuck in the middle of the ma'ara. So the same thing as you get stuck in the middle of the city. So, again, Rabbi Shua ben Levi's halacha is very clearly set out in the Mishnah. Back to the Gemara, 6-7 lines from the top. V'loi v'atanan, it says, Mishnah l'moyid sh'om l'noysen l'alpayim mamar sh'afil l'zay midas l'kol b'am oras, period. Everything more say for Eretz Trichalei, v'loi t'nan. What Rabbi Idi was referring to was that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said two halachas. What were the two halachas? Halacha number one, the one that you just quoted now from the Mishnah, that if you get stuck in the middle of Ma'ara, you're stuck. But what about the second halacha? And that is that what happens if when you're walking your 2,000 amas, let's say after 100 amas, you come across a small town, you walk through the entire length of the town, which is Lemoshel 1,000 amos, and then you want to continue on. I might have thought, oh, I've already used up 1,100 amos, and the answer is no, says Rabbi Shua ben Levi. You've only used up your first 100 plus another 4 amos, because the entire town is considered to be 4 amos, and therefore you still have another 1,896 amos that you can go and walk. That doesn't say in the Mishnah. That's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, and that's what I find so amazing, says Reb Idi. Okay, so that's the dialogue between Rava and Reb Idi. Now Reb Nachman tries to, if you will, Yovi HaKosuv HaShlishi V'Yachriya Meineim, Reb Nachman wants to make everybody happy, and therefore he says that both Girsa'is that we have, both the Girsa of Rava, as well as the Girsa of Reb Idi, both of them appear in our Mishnah, and that therefore everybody's point is addressed. So let's look at the Gemara Omer of Nachman. Man detoni anshi loy mishtabish. That is Rav Idi that said that both the Reisha says anshi ir gedoyla, and the Seifa says anshi ir ktana. What he said is correct. Umandatoni ein anshe, and that was Rava, the top line of our Omer Aleph. When it says vi ein anshe irktana, he's also right, also loy mishtabish. Now the choyra, that doesn't sound right, because in fact these are two different halachas. The case of the anshe is talking about a noisein a ruvoi, and the case of vi ein anshe is talking about the person who is doing his medida, that he is walking. And in fact, there's a major nafkemina. Look, if it says the anshe irktana mahalchen is called irgdoila, it means the anshe irktana can walk the entire irgdoila and keep on going. If it says the ein anshe irktana, then you're stuck in the middle. So how could they both be right? Freiti mori yetz, now freiti mori zok Rav Nachman. Om Rav Nachman. Man de toni anshe le mishtabish, man de toni ein anshe le mishtabish. And we start again. Man de toni anshe le mishtabish, te moikim lo ben noisei. He interprets the Mishnah like Reb Edi interpreted it. And in fact, that's the posh pshat in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, anshe irgdoyle mahalchen is kol irgtana. Anshe irgtana mahalchen is kol irgdoyle. Keitzad. He's noisen eruvoi. So it makes absolutely no difference whether he was noisen eruvoi be'ir gedoyla or noisen eruvoi be'ir ktana. The important thing is that he can be mahalach eskula v'chutzla alpayim ama. Because wherever he put his eruv, it's as if he put it in a small room somewhere. You have the entire room, you have the entire city. Getting back to our Gemara, Matatani Einan Shei, that was the gears of Rava, also le mishtabish. To moikim lo ben moideit, he says the Mishnah is not talking about ben noisein, it's talking about ben moideit. That's not my Mishnah. My Mishnah says, keitzad, mishohoye bi irgdoyle venosan ase ruvai. How can you say it's talking about moideit? Says the Gemara v'chsuri mechzer v'achitani, we have to make a small emendation to our Mishnah, a small modification. And we start the Mishnah again. Anshe irgdoyle mahalach is called irgtana. The ein anshe irktanim halchen is called irgdoila. You know why? But medvor mamurim b'moideid. By moideid, there's a big difference between whether you started off and you walked through an irktana, or whether you got stuck in an irgdoila. That was the halacha of Rabbi Shu ben Levi. The Rabbi Shu ben Levi says that if kolze midosai beemtzo ir, that's where you're stuck. You can't go beyond that. But if kol tzimidosim b'soifa ir, that the entire ear is swallowed up within your 2,000 amas, then that ear is deemed to be just 4 amas altogether. So that's very good. So the anshe irgdoyle mahalchen is called irktana because irktana is small. You go beyond the irktana. And ein anshe irktana mahalchen is called irgdoyle because irgdoyle is just too big and you get stuck in the middle. And this is in fact the makor for Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Wherever he planted his Erev for that Shabbos, he has the benefit of the entire city as part of his Dalet Amos, and you only start measuring 2,000 Amos beyond the city limits. So therefore, we have now made the Mishnah consistent both with Rava and with Rav Edi, because the Mishnah is addressing both cases based on this Chesuri Mechsera of Rav Nachman. And now we start a new shtick. But two dots. Omer Rav Yosef, Omer Rami Bar Abba, Omer Rav Huna. Ir she yeshevis al svas ha-nachal. A city that is lying next to, now Nachal here doesn't mean a river or a brook, but it means next to a valley. Or, if you will, a city that is right next to the end of a cliff. Now you're asking me, how do you know that Nachal means valley? Because if you remember by Egla Rufa, it says that it's B'Nachal Eson, a very hard valley where nothing grows, and you decapitate the Egla and throw it down the side of the cliff. So here too you have an ear that is living right next to the end of a cliff, and now it's kind of dangerous. So now says Rav Yosef, "Im yesh lefanei adaka arba'a moed nula misvas hanacha." Im yesh lefanei adaka, that if after the where the people live, there is a daka. Now in our Gemara, at least my Gemara, it says arba'a. But as we'll see in the Gemara, another couple of lines, this in fact is a printing mistake. It should say, Im yesh lefoneh adaka arba. What's the difference between arbo'o and arba? Arbo'o means four tefachim. Every tefach is roughly 4 inches, 16-inch tall mechitza. Or arba amois, that's like 8 feet. Whoa, that's a real big daka. That's not a daka, that's a gasa. Oh, that's a big wall. 4 amas tall. Okay, so if there is such a daka of 4 amas, moidun lo misvasa nachal. So then, the entire ear that you have becomes like one city, and you can go and be moided, not from each individual house, but from the entire city together, and then from there you have your 2,000 amas. Like normal, like any of us that live in a large city, you can walk the entire city, and then beyond that, another 2,000 amas. However, v'imlav, if there is no fence over there, no daka, then every individual has 2,000 amas starting from the door of his own home. So depending where you live in the city, you can go 2,000 amas to the north, east, west, south, but nobody's tchum is going to be the same because each one is measuring from his own residence, not from the city as a whole. What's this svara over here? So Rashi points out that we had this already a few days ago in the Gemara. It is known as holois, which are tzrifin. Tzrifin means they are tents, something similar to our sukkos that we have. Maybe a little bit more expansive than a sukkah, but not much more. We're talking about a primitive hut or a shack, if you will. If you have a whole city of those 50 or 100 or 1,000 such huts or shacks, they are not considered to be a city. The reason is because none of those are considered to be permanent abodes. They're all considered to be temporary shelters. Very, very temporary. Since they're temporary, they never get the status of a city, but they're just 100 isolated individual little huts. Says our Gemara, because they are living right next to the cliff, if there is no wall over there, it's very dangerous. Nobody would want to live next to a cliff. All you have to have is chas v'shalom, one major hurricane Sandy, or one major storm, or hurricane, or tornado, chulila, and the whole city gets wiped off the face of the map. Everybody falls down over the side of the cliff. And so therefore, you got to have a wall. Without a wall, it does not have any permanence. It's considered to be just a temporary residence. Azizok, Rav Yosef, etc., in the name of Rav Abba, Amravuna. Is Omali Abayis. Abayis said to Rav Yosef, Daka Arba. Amis Amris Lanala. I hear you said Daka Arba. That's how you know that it's Arba Amis, not Arba. Daka Arba Amis Amris Lanala. Maishnam Yikol Daki Di Alma Di Arba. We had the Daka yesterday and the Daka the day before that when we talked about putting up this little door or doorway in front of the sulam or in the front of the individual movois or chatzeirois, we were talking about a symbolic daka. Daka means small, fragile, thin. The arba, 4 tvachim. And over here you require 4 amois. Amalei hasam loy be'isa tashmishta, hacha be'isa tashmishta. You cannot compare one case against the other. Why not? Because hasam, meaning in the prior cases, the reason why daka made a difference was because symbolically you wanted to show that my chatzar or my mavoi were removed and we were mesalik ourselves from the rest of the city or the rest of the neighborhood. So that was an inyan of siluk. Here, however, we're not talking about a siluk situation. Here we're talking about a dangerous situation. Ruchas v'sholem, if you're not careful, you can fall off the cliff. Ba'isa tashmishta. Ba'isa means it's scary. It's full of trepidation. Tashmishta, using this city. So for this city, you have to have a proper wall of 4 amos and not a little tirachol. And in fact, maybe that's where the expression comes, daka min hadaka. As you know, it says by the Samamonim that they would go and redo the Samamonim. So it shouldn't just be daka fine, it should be ultra fine. So here too, the regular daka is arba amais. And the daka that they use, the arba tzvachim, is daka min hadaka. It is really thin and small. Amar Yosef bin Amidala. So Rabbi Yosef says, you know where I know this halacha from about you have to put up such a wall of 10 amos? This anya from the following brisa. And this brisa is a very interesting brisa. And the Gemara is going to bring four separate pshatim. And we start off, Hitir Rebbe. Rebbe was matir. Sheyehu b'nei geder yordan lechamson. Ve'ein b'nei chamson oylan legeder. What does that mean? If you see the small picture here in the Rashi on the right hand side towards the bottom, both Geder and Chamson were cities on the side of a mountain. Geder was a little bit higher up, Chamson was a little bit lower down. Says Rashi that in terms of the construction, both of them should have had a daka. They should have had a wall after at the city limits, so that the whole city doesn't just come tumbling down the side of the mountain. However, for whatever reason, only the Geder people put up a wall, and maybe that's how they got the name Geder, because they put up a Geder. But the Chamson people did not put up a Geder. Okay, so remember, what did Rabbi Yosef say? If you have a city with a Geder, then it's considered to be like one unit, one city, like all cities. However, when there is no Geder, it's only a temporary residence type of situation, and then you have to go and measure your 2,000 Amas from each individual residence. And therefore said, says Rav Yosef, Pshat in his Braisa, Hita Rabbi Shehu b'nei Geder Yordan l'Chamson, the b'nei Geder on Shabbos could go all the way to Chamson and go throughout the entire town of Chamson, v'ein b'nei Chamson oylan legeder, but the people from b'nei Chamson could not go up together and go through the entire Geder. They can go to the outskirts or partial Geder, but they can't go through the entire Geder. My time, la mishum dahani obed daka, v'hani lo yobed daka. Probably because the Geder people made a Geder. They made a wall. So therefore the entire Geder is considered to be like one house, if you will. Even the people that lived high up on the mountain in Geder, they had the benefit of the entire Geder, and they only start their tchum after we leave Geder going down to Chamson. So therefore they had full 2,000 Amis, and the 2,000 Amis got us into Chamson and got us through the entire Chamson. And that was great. But the Chamson people, unfortunately, did not have enough foresight to go and make that Geder. And so therefore the people that are with North Chamson, they got together and presumably they were able to get through the entire Geder. But the people that lived in southern Chamson, they had to use up a lot of their 2,000 Amis just walking through Chamson before they even got on the road beyond Chamson. So they might not have even reached Geder, or if they reached Geder, they only got to the outskirts of Geder, to the, you know, the first couple of streets. They didn't really get through the entire Geder. So the Chayra, Rav Yosef says, I have a good teraya from that Braisa. However, as we will see in the Gemara momentarily, there are three other pshatim in this braisa, and therefore Rabbi Yosef really has no raya from the braisa. Ki Asr Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Dimi said, nah, you don't understand what's going on. What we're talking about is tatrugi mitatrugi lehu b'nei geder lebnei chamson. The b'nei geder were a bunch of, they were difficult people. And these difficult people, many of them were unfortunately bullies or hooligans. So much so, Rashi says, on the fourth line of the wide lines down below, that the b'nei geder were makin. Now, our girsa, at least in my gemara, it says v'horgin hoyu b'nei geder. However, there's another girsa, not horgin, not v'choivtin. Makin v'choivtin hoyu b'nei geder b'nei chamson. The b'nei geder would give petch to the b'nei chamson. They're not nice people. You don't want to get involved with the b'nei geder because, unfortunately, they tended towards violence. Okay, so vos is, freitimor my hitter, so what does this have to do with Rebbe being matter the b'nei geder going to Chamson? No, it's not hitter, but hiskin. He instituted that if geder and Chamson people wanted to go and meet on Shabbos, the geder people should walk down, but the Chamson people should not walk together. Why? Freitimor my shno Shabbos. Wus epe Shabbos? The Shchicha Boshikris, people are a little tipsy because they had a nice kiddush and they ate, and so therefore they're not entirely sober. So what? Feitimor ki azu lahasim nami mitatriki lahu. What will stop the b'nei geder when they get to Chamson from giving them petch? Because after all, if they are violent type of people, even if they happen to be a little bit drunk, maybe their drunkenness would even cause them to be more violent. What difference does that make? And why b'nei geder to chamsin and not chamsin together? Says the Gemara, Gemara uses an expression, kalba b'loy masay shev shnin loy novach. A dog outside of its own town, 7 years it doesn't bark. What does the Gemara mean with that expression? What the Gemara means to say is, when you are local, then you feel like you're the king, and therefore you feel you are in power. However, if you're in a strange land, then you know that you are just a guest of the host, and you don't feel as arrogant as when you happen to be in your own country or your own city. And therefore, says the Gemara, the Bnei Geder, when they are in Geder, they give petch right and left to Bnei Chamsa. However, when they go to Chamsan, they're no longer local, and I don't have to be fearful that they're going to start going and giving petch. So, Frey Timora, if that's the case, Hashanami Metatrigi Bnei Chamsan Bnei Geder. So now when the Bnei Geder are coming to Chamsan, the Bnei Chamsan said, oh, this is my opportunity now. I'm going to give those Bnei Geder people petch back and forth, because they don't feel empowered since they are not local. Says Yimara, Kuli Haile Kaifalu. Even though they are somewhat intimidated because of the fact that they are not local. But you start up with the Bnei Geder, you'll see how he'll start petching back. So the Bnei Chamsan are not going to start up with Bnei Geder, because these Bnei Geder are difficult people, violent people. You don't have to worry. Okay, so according to this pshat, it has absolutely nothing to do with that there is a daka, there's no daka. It has to do with pashut. Bnei Geder can go down to Chamsan because they're not going to start up with them on Shabbos. Bnei Chamsan should not go to Geder because the Geder people, being local, they will feel empowered and they will feel arrogant and pompous, and Chas V'Shalom, they might beat up to Bnei Chamsan. Rav Safra says it's a totally different pshat. Iru asuya ki keshes hava. Chamsan was not your normal city that was rectangular or square, but rather it was made kikeshes. We've had the keshes before, like the bow of a bow and arrow. And here, the bow was turned as a U towards Geder. So when the Geder people are going towards Chamsan, they come across the right and the left legs of Chamsan, even before they get to the main street in Chamsan, because it's in the form of a U. So Vos is, so since they, the people from Geder, are going down to Chamsan, they can go all the way into Chamsan, even to Main Street, through the entire length and breadth of Chamsan. How are they able to do that? Because Chamsan was a relatively small town, while Geder was a large city. So the people from Geder, they go down to Chamsan, Chamsan being less than 2,000 amis, they can get into Chamsan and go through the entire Chamsan. And in fact, if they have enough room that the entire 2,000, the entire Chamsan is swallowed up within their tchum, they'll be able to go even beyond Chamsan. Because as we said before, any time that you, that was how we started off our Gemara today, that the Ein Anshe Ir Ketana Mahalchen Ir Gedoyla, but the Anshe Ir Gedoyla can go through the entire Ir Ketana. And therefore, they were able to go through the entire Keshes. That is the entire Chamsan. However, the Chamsan people, those that lived at the Keshes part, at the upper part of the Keshes, not, in other words, not in the two legs, but on Main Street, before they even left the city limits, they may already have gone through 2,000 or 1,000 amos and lost a lot of their tchum. So now when they're getting together, they might not reach Geder, or if they do reach Geder, they go only 5 or 10 or 20 amos into Geder. They can't go through the entire Geder because that's how Rav Safra learns it. And by the way, by this era, it's got to be talking about that the two legs were of the keshes of the city were more than 4,000 amos apart. Because if they're within 4,000 amos, they overlap each other. We said in the Gemara, then you put up an imaginary yeser or chevel. That's the string of your bow when you want to go and shoot a bow and arrow, and therefore the entire chamsan would be coming to the front to the yeser. You wouldn't go and look at each individual house. They're all merged into one. So there wouldn't be a difference between going from chamsan to geder or geder to chamsan. However, since the two legs of the U were more than 4,000 amas apart, so if you want to go to one of the houses in the legs, there was enough room from geder. However, to go all the way to the main street, Har Gemara said, you're able to go from geder to chamsan because chamsan was relatively small. But to get from main street and chamsan to geder, you wouldn't be able to get through the whole geder because geder was a large city. And in fact, Rav Kahana's pshat is almost the same. Not Rav Kahana. Rav Dini Bar Chinna's pshat is almost the same. Rav Dini Bar Chinna Omar, Ansh Igdolav Ansh Igtanahav. Oh, don't forget about Keshes. Very, very simple. Geder was a large city. Chamsan was a small town. The Pnei Geder can go down to Chamsan and go through the entire length and breadth of the town because it was only like Dalet Amos. It was small and it was enveloped and swallowed up within their 2,000 Amos. Masha'en came the people from the Ir Tana, from Chamsan, going to Geder. Geder was this large city, so they would not get the benefit of going through the whole city because their 2,000 Amos would stop somewhere in the middle of Geder, so they weren't able to go through the whole Geder. And when it says at the top, Hiter Rebbe Shihu b'nei Geder Yordan l'Chamsan, it's not that Rebbe is saying only Geder people can go to Chamsan and Chamsan people can't go to Geder. What he meant to say is that the Geder people can go into Chamsan and go the entire Chamsan. However, the b'nei Chamsan people cannot go through the entire Geder because they're going to stop somewhere in the middle. So Rav Safra's pshat and Rav Dimi Bar Chinna's pshat are very, very much the same. Says the Rashba, the reason why Rav Safra talks about an Iru Asui Ki Keshes, because he wants to throw in another wrinkle or another chidush, that when it comes to a Keshes, make sure that the two legs are within 4,000 Amas of each other, and then you'll have the benefit of a Yeser, an imaginary chut, and everybody will be able to start their Tchum from the same point. But if it's broader, wider than 4,000, you lose it. And you have to go from each individual house and measure your 2,000 amas. So now, the machloikas that we just had now between Rav Safra and Rav Dimi Bar Chinna, Rav Kahana Masni Hochi. Rav Kahana learned like the way we just learned it. But Rav Tavyumi Masni Hochi, Rav Tavyumi learned it a little bit differently. That Rav Safra, Rav Dimi Bar Chinna, Chad Omer Iru Asuya Kikeshes Havoy. Vechad Omer Anshi Ir Ktanab Anshi Ir Gedoyla Havoy. However, according to this Girsa of Rav Tavyumi, I don't know who said what. Did Rav Safra talk about the Keshes and Rav Dimi talk about the Anshi Ir Gedoyla and Anshi Ir Ktana? Or is it the other way around that Rav Dimi talked about the Keshes and Rav Safra spoke about the Anshi Ir Gedoyla and Anshi Ir Ktana? I don't know. Chad Omer v'chad Omer. So that's the difference between the two Lashonos as to whom you can attribute which case and which scenario. Anyway, whichever way you learn, whether you learn like Rav Dimi, or Rav Safra, or Rav Dimi Bar Chinna, you have no raya to Rav Yosef, because it has nothing to do with whether there was a daka or not a daka around Geder or Chamsa. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah we've already learned about 80%, so it's going to be a very quick review. Anshi Ir Gedoyla Mahalkan is called Ir Ktana. The people who live in Ir Gedoyla, they can walk the entire length of Ir Ktana. Anshi Ir Ktana Mahalkan is called Ir Gedoyla. They can walk the entire length of the Ir Gedoyla. Notice next to the Anshe, there's a small Dalid. The small Dalid gets to Mesoris Hashas and says that there's another Girsa of the Ein Anshe. That's the Girsa that we had of Rava at the top of the Amud. But our Girsa is like Rav Dimi had, and like Rav Nachman had, and that is Anshi Yigdoyla can go through the entire Ir Ktana, and the Anshi Yigdoyla can go through the whole Ir Gedoyla. Ketzad, when do you say this? Misha, you be Ir Gedoyla, and also Nasiru be Ir Ktana. If you placed your Erev in the Ir Ktana, then you can go through the entire Ir Ktana before you measure your 2,000 Amas. If you put your Erev, if you live be Ir Ktana, and also Nasiru be Ir Gedoyla, you put your Erev in a large city, Mahalach is Kuli, you can go through the entire city. And then v'chutzala, after you finish the city, you go another alpayim amah. This, says Yimar, makes, you don't say here, kolzimidosei b'chatziya ir, because here we're not talking about a moidate, we're talking about a situation of a noisin, a ruvai.
Rabbi Kiva respectfully disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer Einli Elu Mimakam Eruv Alpayim Amma. You only get 2,000 Amas from Mokam Erev. It makes absolutely no difference, says Rabbi Kiva, whether it's Ir Gedoyli, Ir Ktana. Makes no chilik whatsoever. The important thing is you get only 2,000 Amas, period. What happens if you put your Erev in a Mara, in a cave? Wouldn't you agree with me that you only get 2,000 Amas from the cave and you don't get the length and the breadth of the cave? What happens if it's a very long cave? We're going to have in the Amud Beis Ma'oras Tzidkiyahu, which was miles long. You don't get the benefit of the entire Ma'ara. Wherever you put your Erev, that's where you get your 2,000 Amas. So the same thing says Rev Akiva. If you put it in a city, you only get your 2,000 Amas. Iyata Moidinli. Omdolois the Chacham said, yes, we agree with you, but when? Amos said, as much ain't but the urine. If nobody lives in that Ma'ara, it is not inhabited. Then we agree with you, you only get your 2,000 Amas from the Mara, and no benefit of the Mara itself. Aviyeshba diurin. However, if people live in this Mara, then mahalach is kula v'chutzla alpayim ama. It's just like a city that you can go walk the entire length and breadth of the Mara without thinking a moment about your 2,000 amas, because your 2,000 amas is only going to begin after you leave the Mara and continue walking. Nimtza, as a result, says the Mishnah, kal toicha mi'al gaba. People who are living inside the Ma'ara, they have it easier than people living on top of the Ma'ara. That if you live inside the Ma'ara and you put your Erev inside the Ma'ara, you get Mahalachas Kula V'chutzla Alpayim Amma. But if it's on top of the Ma'ara, then you only get 2,000 Ammas starting from the Ma'ara itself. You don't even get the benefit of Mahalachas Kula. And then the Mishnah winds up Ulam Moidich Amru. If a person is not putting a Ruvai, but he is measuring out 2,000 pesiyos, noisn alpayim amma, afshaf viafilu soif midasi koluba ma'ara. You only get 2,000 amas from wherever you start walking, and even if your 2,000 amas end in the middle of a ma'ara, that's where you stop. You don't even get the benefit of the full ma'ara, because like we said before, there's a difference between moideh and noisin eivu. Okay, now at the very end of the Mishnah, we had the Rabbanan that are disagreeing with Rabbi Kiva, and they made a distinction between Yesh lo diurin or Ein lo diurin. That if in the Ma'ara you had people, you get the benefit of the whole Ma'ara. And if they had no people living there, then you start 2,000 Amas from the square inch wherever you put your Erev. So now, we spoke, of course, about the case of a Ma'ara, that Yesh lo diurin, Ein lo diurin. We're going to now expand upon this and talk about an Ir Chareva. Ir Chareva means a city where there are no longer any inhabitants because everybody has moved. So Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Shovas b'Ir Chareva, if a person was living in the Ir Chareva, in other words, Shovas on Shabbos, b'Ir Chareva, Chareva says Rashi, Midiurel, nobody lives there, but the Mechitzois are Kayomois, it's an abandoned city. City used to have 500, 1,000, 10,000 people. Everybody fled, but the walls are still standing. A person who is a moideid, he can go through the entire city and beyond 2,000 amps. If he put his Erev there, you only get 2,000 amas, period. You don't get mahalachas kula, which is exactly like we had in our Mishnah, that the Rabbanan said, if ein lo diurin, then you don't get the benefit of the entire Ma'ara, and here you don't get the benefit of the entire ear, but you got to start your 2,000 amas from wherever you placed your Erev. Where Rabbi Lazar said, no. According to the Rabbanan, echad shavas v'echad imiach, it makes a difference if you were living there over Shabbos, or whether you put your Erev there, mahalachas kula b'chutzla alpayim ama. You have first the entire city, and then you have an additional 2,000 amas, even though nobody's living in the city. Ein lo diurin is meisvei. Freitimar from our Mishnah. L'choy Rebbe Lazar is going against the beferish halacha of our Mishnah. Omele Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said to the Chacham, "Iat amoydim li benoyis nesruv, but ba'orah she'im li memokem eruv elapayim." Amma, don't you agree that you cannot walk the entire ma'orah? You only get 2,000 amas from wherever you put the your eruv. And Omru loyin, they said, "Yes, we agree." If nobody lives there, we agree you only get 2,000 amas. You don't get kula plus 2,000 amas. See, what do you see from the Mishnah? They agree to Rabbi Akiva, you do not get kula. So let's look at what Rabbi Lazar said. Rabbi Lazar said, that's not true. If there are no diurin, you only get the 2,000 amas, which is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says at the top of the Amud, on the third and fourth line. He nirchas eruva bi'ir chareva, ein loy mimakim eruva, ela alpayim amas, you only get 2,000 amas. So l'chayra, Reb Lozer is arguing with our Mishnah. How could that be? Our Mishnah is talking about ein ru'uya l'dira. Not only is nobody inhabiting that m'ara, but it's impossible to live there. Why is it impossible to live there? Says Rashi, because the machitzos naflu. The machitzos fell down. And therefore it's not even a normal inhabitable place. So that's the difference between the case of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul and Rabbi Lazar and the case of our Mishnah. Because the top Rashi says, Befedish, the Ir Chareva is talking about Chorad Midiurea, Al Machitzos Sea Kayama Isavivla. Although nobody lives there, but you still have the infrastructure of a walled city. The walls are still standing. Says Reb Lozer, if the walls are standing, you still get the benefit of kula before you start measuring out your 2,000 amas. However, our Mishnah is talking about that the entire city, or in the case of the Mishnah, the entire Ma'ara had collapsed. Not only does nobody live there, nobody could live there. It doesn't have the infrastructure anymore of walls around the Ma'ara. Oh, in such a case, everybody agrees. You only get 2,000 amas from wherever you placed your eruv. Toshma, let's try to bring another raya. Shavas be'ir, after the higadoy lekantochia. If you made your mokum shvisa, that means you decided, I'm residing in this city, even if the city is as large as Antiochia, which presumably was a very large city, Achvais that had 1,000,000 people, or you were shoivis b'ma'ara, afilihib ki ma'aras tzidkiyo melech Yehuda, even if the ma'ara that we're talking about was as large as that of Tzidkiyo. Now, the ma'ara of Tzidkiyo was not just a cave, it was a very lengthy tunnel that went all the way from Yerushalayim until Arvois Yerichoi. And the reason why they constructed this tunnel was as an exit, an escape route from Nebuchadnezzar. And since you're talking about all the way from Yerushalayim till close to Yericho, we're talking about miles long, a very, very long ma'ara. Says the Braisa, if you're shoivis in the ear as large as Antiochia, you're shoivis in the ma'ara as large as Tzidkiyo's ma'ara, mahalach es kuli, and go the entire length and breadth of the city or of that ma'ara, v'chutzla, and beyond alpayim amah. That's what it says in the Braisa. Says the Mar, ketoni ir dumi demara. Since the Braisa gives you two examples, one of ir, one ma'ara, is ma ma'ara chareva, just like the ma'ara of Tzidkiyo was chareiv. How do I know that Tzidkiyo's ma'ara was chareiv? Either because no one ever lived there, it was a private tunnel belonging to the king, so there were no residents. Or even if there were residents at one time, says Rashi, but there are no residents now, because that's history. Nobody lives today in the Ma'ara of Tzidkiyo HaMelech. And therefore, that being the case, it's Choret. So it must be that the city is probably also Choret, because we have two cases back to back, so presumably they're talking about the same thing. So Ma'ara Chareva, Fir Chareva. And it's a Vishavas. Dafka, because somebody was shoivis, he lived in that city. In that's why he got the benefit of the entire city, the entire ma'ara. Abiniach loy. It's mashmat. If you be meniach erev, you would not get the benefit of the entire city or the entire tunnel. And if that being the case, is the chnochem shver and Reb Lozer. The Reb Lozer said that even though it's chorev, nobody lives there, you still get mahalach eskula b'chutzlo alpayin. Every Gemara says Reb Lozer, Mani, that price, it doesn't go according to Rabban, it goes according, well, first, Who is the Tana of that Braisa? If you're going to tell me Rabbi Akiva, that's impossible. Because remember, Rabbi Akiva said in our Mishnah, "My ear yechareiv afili yeshiva nami." Rabbi Akiva doesn't distinguish whether the city has anybody living there or nobody living there. Rabbi Akiva says you only get 2,000 amris from wherever you put down your eruv. You don't get an inch more. 2,000 amris wherever you put the eruv down. Elav must be that the price is going according to Rabban. The time of the shavas in avim yachloi. It's crystal clear only because he was shoivis be'ir, or shoivis b'ma'ara, then you get mahalachas kula. But if you just put your Erev down, you would not get mahalachas kula. Is the shver on Rabbi Lozor? Every more loytei me'ir dumi d'ma'ara, ele ein ma'ara dumi d'ir. The whole premise of your question was that this ear is chorev, just like the ma'ara tzidkiyo is chorev, and nobody lives there. No, suggest the opposite. The ma'ara dumya the ear, my ear yeshiva, af ma'ara yeshiva. Both the city is populated and the ma'ara is populated. And according to Rabbanan, if people live in the city or live in the ma'ara, then you get the benefit of mahalachis kula and v'chutzla alpayim ama. So that's a very straightforward, simple situation. We're talking about taka not chareva, but yeshiva. And in fact, this can even go kundra makivi. The amar engli makam eruve alpayim ama. That's when you put your Erev down. But Meshavas, if you live in the city, or you live in the Ma'ara, Moidi, even Rabbi Akiva agrees. There's no Machloikis. So bottom line, says Rabbi Lazar, don't tell me that this Braisa is talking about Chareva, it's talking about even Yeshiva, that people live there. Ah, you said if people live there, then what's the Chiddush? It's course it only goes according to Rabbi Akiva, that holds that there's a distinction between Shavas and Heiniach Eruvai. Heiniach Eruvai, said Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, you get zero. You only get Mimakoin Eruvai. However, your Shoivis, even Rabbi Akiva agrees, you get the entire city or the entire Ma'aram. Zokti Mara, that Pshat L'choira has one major problem. Remember, initially when we asked the Kasha and Rabbi Lozor, we said that just like the Ma'ara has no body, so then the ear has no body. Ein badirin. Said Rabbi Lozor, no, no, it's the other way around. Just like the city has people, the Ma'ara also has people. It does have residents. Peiti Ma'ara ba'ki Ma'ara tzidkiyo k'tani. The Braisa says, befeidish, I'm not talking about just any cave. I'm talking about the tunnel of Tzidkiyo HaMelech. And Tzidkiyo HaMelech, nobody's been living in there now for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So what are you telling me that it's Yesh Badirin? It's only partially like Ma'aras Tzidkiyo. In what sense? Ma'aras Tzidkiyo Gedoyla. That it's huge. This is a tunnel that goes on for miles. It's larger and longer than the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. It's larger than the Lincoln Tunnel. I'm not sure about the tunnel that goes from England to France, which is also quite long. But we're talking something very comparable, something very, very long. And therefore the Chiddush of the Braisa is, if you are Shoivis anywhere within that large tunnel, you get the entire tunnel miles long. And when you come out of the tunnel, v'chutzla, another 2,000 amas. So in fact, the word diurim, we're not talking about that it was empty. The Bryce is talking about that, Baruch Hashem, there are diurim in this tunnel. And so therefore, you have no raya whatsoever against Rabbi Lazar. The Bryce can even go according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that Shavas Bama'ora, you get the entire Mar. It's only if Noisen Eruva, you lose it. But if it's Yeshiva, Shavas Bama'ora, you get the entire Mar. Okay, just one final story before we finish the perek. Says the Gemara, Mar Yehuda Ashkechinu lebnei mevrechta de kamoisli eruvayu bebei knishta de bei agubar. The bnei mevarchasa, they wanted to be able to go and walk on Shabbos beyond their tchum, so they went and put an eruv in the shul bei knishta of Bei Agubar. Mr. Agubar, that was the person's name. He owned the shul, or he built the shul. His name was Agubar. or Beya Guber. Anyway, so they put down the Erev in that shul. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us the dimensions of the shul, but it's clear from our Gemara that we're talking about a very large shul. A shul that could hold, ichbais, 1,000 or 2,000 congregants, or perhaps even larger than that. A very, very large shul. And when they put down their Erev, they put down the Erev in the beginning of the shul. As soon as you walk into the shul, they put the Erev down over there. As Omelahus and Mar Yehuda said to the B'nai Marvachosa, you're making a mistake. Govu Beit Tvei, Kehechad Lishtri Lechu Tvei. Mar Yehuda held like Reb Akiva, that if you have a Mokum She'in Lo Diyurin, apparently nobody lived in this shul, there was no room for the Chazan HaKnesses, it was a building that had no Diyurin in it, which it's typical for shuls. People don't typically live in a shul, unless there's a special room for the sexton or for the superintendent or something. Typically, it's empty. So, what did Rabbi Akiva hold? If it's a mokum she'ein ba diurin, then we measure from where you put your Erev down. So, Mar Yehuda said, fellas, go and give yourself a larger break. Don't put the Erev in as soon as you enter into the shul. Go with me. Let's go another 100 amos, 200 amos in the shul, all the way to the other end, and put your Erev down over there, so you'll be able to walk another 2,000 amos from that new place that I'm going to show you, and not from the place where you placed it. Because from where you placed it, just going through the shul, you're going to use up 100, 200, 500 amos of your 2,000 amos. Rather, put it all the way to the other end, and therefore be able to walk another 2,000 amos from there. Amalei Rava, so Rava said to Mar Yehuda, Palgo, you are making a machloikis, you are a bar plukta, you're arguing on the Chachamim. The Chachamim in our Mishnah said that no matter where you place it, even if it's less badiurin, if you place the Erev, then you get the benefit of the entire place. It's Gehech the Lishteri Lechut, it's Amalei Rava, Palgo. The Erevin, less the Choshlo Lahod Rabbi Kiva. Nobody learns like Rabbi Kiva. Now, what did we learn in the Mishnah about like the Chachamim, if Ein Bad Yurin? If Ein Bad Yurin, they also agree that you only get... I'm sorry, Rabbi Say. It's talking about a shul that, in fact, there was at least one person living there. Because if it was Ein Bad Yurin, then the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Kiva that Ein Bad Yurin, you only go and get... wherever you place the Erev, 2,000 amos, you don't get Mahalachas Kulim. It's Yesh Badiurim in Mahalachas Kulim. So, I'm sorry. The shul did have a room for a sexton or a superintendent. Therefore, it's considered to be a Mokum Shiyesh Badiurim. According to Rabbi Kiva, I could care less. If you're Noisin Eruva, you only get 2,000 amos from the precise location of the Erev. And that's why my Yehuda said, put it to the front, don't put it to the back. So you get another 200, 300 amos that you can go and walk on Shabbos. But Rava said to him, don't bother. Rava said to Mar Yehuda, you don't have to bother. You can put anywhere you want inside this edifice, inside this building. Because since Yesh Badiurin, less the Choshlo of Rabbi Kiva, you have no person that is machmir like Rabbi Kiva. Like Rashi says at the end of the Parit Kaimel and Halachi Dibri HaMekel be Eruv. And so therefore, wherever you're going to go and place it in this building, you have Mahalachas Kula. And then when you leave the building, you'll have another 2,000 amis further. Hanloch Ketzim Abin, Hanloch Ketzim Abin, Hanloch Ketzim Abin. David Fishman has a question. Yes, David.
Earlier when Rabbi Elazar came out with his shita, he suggested that he's going against Chachamim who are Modim to Rabbi Akiva. Which Rabbi Elazar is this?
It's Rabbi Elazar the Amora, because it's Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. How do we know it's Rabbi Elazar the Amora? As you know, Barry will always remind us that Rabbi Elazar of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, and Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas is the Amora. How do we know we're talking about Rabbi Elazar the Amora? Because he's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and since Shmuel is an Amora, Rabbi Elazar is an Amora. So Rabbi Elazar the Amora cannot argue with the Chachamim of our Mishnah. The Chachamim of our Mishnah, these are Tanoim, who are arguing with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Elazar is a later generation in the times of Shmuel. He's a full-fledged Amora, and he would have no right to go and argue and dispute our Mishnah.
This I accept, but you
The way Rashi is learning is, you'll notice, Amr Yudah Meshmuel Shavas Beir Charev LeRabbanon Mahalach Eskula. It's the Rabbanon of our Mishnah. They are interpreting what would the Rabbanon of our Mishnah hold in the following case of Ir Chareva. So they say X, Y, and Z. Reb Lozer says, no, I respectfully disagree with Shmuel, and I hold that the Rabbanon would hold A, B, and C. So they are arguing about what the Rabbanon of our Mishnah would hold. So the Gemara said, how can they argue? The Mishnah is very clear cut on its face, just like Reb Yudah Meshmuel, and not like Reb Lozer. Therefore, the Gemara said, I have a big problem with Reb Lozer's interpretation of the Mishnah, or an interpretation of what the Rabbanon would hold, because it goes smack against what it says in our Mishnah. Okay? Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Yashar Koyach for all getting up early this morning. Just as a footnote, one second. The Mate Moshe writes that there are five times during the year that one's supposed to get up early to go and daven on those days. And he gives a mnemonic, Avroham, Alevez Reish Heimem, because it's in the Pasuk, Vayashkin Avroham Baboiker. Avroham got up early to go and daven. What are those five times? So he says that it goes based on the Sofei Tevois of the following five. The Aleph is referring to the last letter of the word Hoshana, Hoshana Rabbah. Got to get up early, Vayashkin Avroham Baboiker. Vez is referring to Tisha B'Av. The last letter of Av is a Vez. Tisha B'Av, you get up early to go and daven. Reish is referring to the last letter of Yom Kippur. You get up early for davening. The Hey is referring to the last letter of Rosh Hashanah. Hey. And the Mem is referring to the last letter of Purim. Purim ends with a Mem. So therefore, all these five dates, Hoshana Rabbah, and Tisha B'Av, and Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah, and Purim, Aleph Vez Reish Hey Mem, Aleph for Hoshana, Vez for Tisha B'Av, Reish for Yom Kippur, Hey for the end of Rosh Hashanah, Mem for the end of Purim, the Sofei Tevois, the Yashkim, you have to get up early. So Yashar Koyach that all of you followed the Mate Moshe, that you got up early for learning, and now we're going to be able to start davening early. Everybody should have a guten kvittel and a gitke ben shtur. And Barry wants to know what time we're going to learn in Yad Hashem on Monday. And since I don't expect to be back on the west side Monday morning, and since Rabbi Voran Shul is going to be davening, hopefully with a minion, at 1:45 or 6:40 on Monday morning, so hopefully you'll be finished by something like 7:45. Give you an extra few minutes. So Mitch, Monday we will learn at 8:05. Mitch, Monday afternoon, I hope to be back on the west side. So therefore, we'll continue our shiurim in the Bismedish, and therefore we will start our Zoom Mitch Hashem on 7:45, starting Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. Ed, you wanted to ask something?
Yeah, thank you very much. Simple question. The words Tachum and Eruv, are they the same or synonymous? It seems like they're the same. Or, I mean, I know what an Eruv is, I got here from West Side. I know what Tachum is, putting the food down to make your 2,000 was possible, adding to it. I see something very basic here, or are they the same?
There is a bit of an overlap in interpretation. And that is, remember, we're not talking about carrying, we're talking about walking. And therefore, everybody can always walk on Shabbos his tchum. Question is, what means tchum? So if you live in a city, the whole city, and then your tchum begins after the city ends, 2,000 amos. If you live by yourself in a hut or in a house, nobody around you, you have 2,000 amos tchum from your house. But what happens if you want to go beyond the 2,000? Then you have to place an eruv, that's the food items, and then once you place the food items, you can go another 2,000 amas beyond your regular tchum. You get an extension on your tchum.
But isn't that the tchum itself is the additional 2,000, right?